Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
That is right. We are live as we kick off the weekend here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by George Kurtz today as we are going to recap Thursday and Friday's games, maybe even look ahead to what Saturday's slate will bring in terms of preseason football, the preseason. We got a lot more action now in week two, a lot of starters playing well into that second quarter, some playing the entire first half, which is always more valuable for us here on the network as we try to give you the best analysis and we kind of see what we can pick up from these preseason games. And as much as anybody will say, preseason is preseason. There is one thing that will always matter when it happens in the preseason. Before we get to that, though, let me not be rude. George, how are we doing this morning?
Yes, let you not be rude. This is the beginning of a long weekend for me, Kevin, between the radio shows. I have birthday parties today. It was my daughter's eighth. I had to make sure I got that back. My youngest daughter's eighth
birthday
on Thursday. Happy birthday, Madison Ann. My niece's 23rd birthday yesterday, so having a party later. And then I have my home drafts. I have one home league draft tomorrow and the other home league draft Monday night. So it's the beginning of a long 3 days.
Sounds like quite the busy slate for you, which I'm sure you will handle with great grace, as per usual, George. So kind of what I was talking about there, though, in terms of the one thing whenever it happens in preseason, it is real. It's when we get those big injuries. And last week we were talking about Darius Geis, which hurts a lot of anybody who's drafted in fantasy, especially if you played in any best balls. But now we've got another injury, and this one might be more significant in terms of how it's going to impact the team as a whole and how it's going to play out really for anybody that you would draft fantasy-wise and what this could mean for the overall record. Isaiah Wynn, first-round pick for the New England Patriots, is going to be out for the season. Initially, they thought it was going to be an ankle injury, and it turned out to be a torn Achilles. So that is a major blow. But before we get into the specifics of that injury and what it could mean, I think it is preseason ritual to have this discussion. I think we will allot it for today. And then if we have to go back to it, we will. But this is kind of the type of injuries, George, that always lead people to ask, why do we play this much preseason? We know how dangerous of a game football is. We know how easily or how frequently these injuries come around. The college teams, they don't play these big preseason games, certainly not a four-week slate of preseason games. So I'm just going to leave it up to you because you've been watching preseason football for many, many years now. Your take on the length, the necessary, and the fact that every preseason people are holding their breaths, hoping that crucial players don't go down.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it. Do we need four preseason games? No, of course not. It's a little ridiculous. You probably only need two. But the other hand is injuries would still happen. Injuries would just happen in practice. We'd be practicing more. Right. So you need preseason to judge the players. Why do we have four preseason games? Well, I don't think it's any big shock here. Money, 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 money. All right, that's why you have four preseason games. If you're a season ticket holder, you're forced to buy the two preseason games. It's kind of funny there. Is there a solution? Yeah, I think there always has been, but it's one the Players Association is not thrilled with, and that's adding more regular season games. So you wouldn't get less games. There would just be regular season games rather than preseason games. What I've always thought they should do is go to a 20, including preseason, go to a 20-week season. Two preseason games, 18 regular season games, but also add two bye weeks.
Okay.
So you're adding an extra bye week. So every team would get one bye week in the first 10 weeks, a second bye week in the second 10 weeks. I think that's the only true solution there. That's really make everybody happy when you think about it. the players, therefore, would they have to play more? Yes, because you're going to play more in a regular season game than you are in a preseason game. So you'll be on the field more. That's true. But you'd also make more money if you're looking at it that way, because you're adding, three more weeks of football, a bye week, and two extra games, two extra real games. So the network should be much happier, because they'll get they'll get football into February, deep into February at that. Let's face it, February is a month where not a whole lot's going on. Yeah. So it's not a perfect solution, but one, and I know they've talked about this, and this Players Association always shoots it down, but the owners aren't going to give up those extra preseason games. They're just not. It's money.
Yeah, and I think that is incredibly well said, where we know what the driving force behind this is. And as much as there is value in getting to thin out these rosters, I mean, they have to cut it down to 53, and they bring a boatload of people into these camps. So these games matter in terms of that, but the real sticking point is always the ability to make money off these games. But I do think that there is no need for it to be four. I could be talked into three. I could be talking to two. I think because they do need to trim out those rosters, I don't think abolishing preseason is something I'm necessarily on board with at the moment. But you know what? If I were a Redskins fan right now, or if I was a Patriots fan, I understand why you would be feeling that way. So that was really the big story that came out of the 37-20 win in the Super Bowl rematch between the Pats and the Eagles in week two of the preseason. We did get to see Tom Brady for a bit, though. 19 of 26, 172 yards, and two touchdowns. And I don't think there were many questions, but if there were any, Tommy touchdown looked great.
We got to see him more than a bit. We saw him for almost a quarter, a half. Mm-hmm. Shocked. I kept watching. I'm like, okay, take him out. Okay, he should be out. Okay. I started to wonder. This actually crossed my mind. Was Belichick sending a message here? Mm. You're not going to show up to off-season camp? The mini camp? Well, you're going to play a lot more then. I doubt. I don't think Belichick's going to spike like that with his best player. But I just did not expect Brady in week two. Usually it's a week, more of a week three thing, to play a half. That being said, it was good to see him. He looked great. I mean, he looked fantastic again. So I've actually moved him up my ranks. I moved him to number two. I know you mentioned the when it's out the offensive lineman. But because he looked good, and because I have concerns now about Seattle, I've moved Russell Wilson down to three. I know, big shocking move there. But Brady is my second overall quarterback now. Just good to see him on the field. Things are going, I think, a little better there. I'm still concerned about that wide receiver core.
Yeah.
What happens if Hogan were to go down? They wouldn't be left with much on the outside at all, especially until Edelman comes back. But even he's a slot guy, not an outside receiver.
Yeah, and the thing with this injury to Isaiah Wynn is you have to look at it where it's not like they just lost their starting left tackle. Isaiah Wynn was drafted to replace Nate Solder, who was their starting left tackle last season, signed the big contract with the Giants. And one of the reasons the Pats were more than okay with moving on is they knew that they were going to have that first-round draft capital. And they made the move, and they drafted Isaiah Wynn, and it was an applauded pick. It really was. And they drafted a pair of Georgia Bulldogs in that first round, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. Wynn already out for the season. Michel already battling those injuries at the moment. So that's a question mark. I want to mention Hogan before we get to the running game. I mean, seeing Hogan catch that touchdown, I do think is something that is going to get people a little bit more excited for Hogan, because sometimes when there's the chatter, right? There's the murmurs that goes around players, and people have to decide, should I or should I not? And then when you kind of see it play out on the field, even in a game where Julian Edelman is out there, and you see Chris Hogan come down with a touchdown, I do think that you're going to now start to see Hogan go a little bit earlier in these drafts.
Well, that's always an overreaction in preseason. You see one guy do one thing. We're not seeing all the highlights. You're not seeing all the games, seeing what happened. Hogan, I have no problem drafting Hogan, but I'm not raising him in my rankings because of last night's game. He is a player that concerns me somewhat, because he leaves games. He gets hurt. He comes back in the games at times. Sometimes he doesn't. He's a big, tall, lanky receiver, and he's going to get hit. He doesn't see someone who can avoid hits. He's going to get hit, and sometimes he doesn't. Does he always be somebody who gets up from those hits? So I have some concern there. He's a wide receiver three for me. There's a chance you know, he plays 16 games. He can get the wide receiver 2 status, but I'm still sticking with him and drafting as a wide receiver 3. And I'm not going to raise him past it. It'd be highly unlikely, no matter what kind of preseason he has, that he gets the wide receiver 2 status as far as draft is drafting is concerned.
The thing I do like about Chris Hogan is where the ADP is. I don't feel like I'm paying a premium for Hogan as a wide receiver 3. I would probably tell you that if all things were all systems go on Julian Edelman and everything else surrounding this team, I think Hogan would still have wide receiver 3 potential. But knowing that Edelman is going to miss those games and knowing that you really can't ever be sure as to when Gronk is going to be there, I think Hogan does have a chance over the course of the season to lead this team in targets, especially, you know, something we've talked about a lot with Cooks leaving. That he is, in those 4 games especially, that Edelman is going to be out, by far and away the best wide receiver on this football team. So that is the thing that I do really like about Hogan, where that wide receiver 3, that doesn't feel like a premium. It feels a lot closer to the floor than the ceiling.
The only problem with that is they're very game plan specific. New England, they're going to be game plans, but he's just not part of it. You know, and you already brought up one. We talked about Wynn. He's out now. So if the offensive line is struggling, well, now you're looking at shorter passes, which is something that's not good for Hogan. He's a more of a deep guy, intermediate guy. So a short pass could make James White all of a sudden a bigger play here. You know, we know Gronk's going to be a major part of the game plan as well. Edelman, of course, once he's back. So that could be a problem for Hogan as well. If Brady doesn't have enough time to throw, you saw it in the preseason game, by the way. Most of Brady's throws were 3-5-step drops to get rid of the ball. You know, Belichick wasn't stupid. He's not having him sit back there for 7-step drops and looking deep. There'll be times where, hey, the first read is not open, and then he's got to scramble a little bit, move around, and look for that second, third, fourth read. And that benefits Hogan there. Not that they won't take deep shots. Of course they will. Well, that offense isn't geared around that. That offense is geared around Brady getting rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah, and look, we're in a spot right now with the Patriots that we are all very accustomed to, yet we don't have an answer. And it's kind of figuring out this guessing game as to who we should be targeting week in and week out. Last year, Hogan in 9 games saw 59 targets, which is a pretty nice number. Now, Cooks and Amendola, their departure sees 200 targets on the nose walk out of that door. And I don't think there's anything necessarily that is going to be suggesting that Brady's 581 attempts from last season is going to be taking some type of nosedive. Maybe it goes down a bit, but I could also argue that it goes up a bit, especially if they don't figure out that horrible defense that they had last season. But there is nothing that will ever describe the Patriot fantasy confusion as well as that running back situation. And I think for a lot of people, James White probably opened some eyes. In this preseason game, if you just take the numbers that he put up, the 31 rushing yards on 4 attempts with the 6 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown, he gave you a 20-plus fantasy performance in this preseason game. And James White is a guy that we've seen put on some impressive performances before. So it's one of those things. I look at the ADP, Sony Michel, RB27 right now. Rex Burkhead right behind him, RB28. RB48 is James White. And now it's got me wondering, you know, do you need to start kind of looking at James White as maybe the value play because you're not overspending like a Michel or a Burkhead? And maybe the upside's just as high.
The problem is I'm not playing the New England guessing game. I mean, the value would just have to really fall to me to nail any of these guys, any one of them. This is before the injury to Burkhead, who's got a slight tear in his knee. Now, in the RotoWire League, expert league with all the RotoWire guys, I did end up getting James White. But I got him because he was a guy that slipped through. I literally got him with either the last pick of a draft or the second to last pick. You know, he was just there, and I accepted the ask. James White still available? Oh, I'll take him. Great. You know, so it was a surprise he was still there. The value was too good. You know, so that's why I took James White. Now, that's also in a standard league. Maybe that's why he slipped that far. But I don't like playing the Bill Belichick guessing game or Josh McDaniels guessing game, whichever way you want to look at it. Because, and listen, this is the right way to play any sport. All they care about is winning. And I don't say that in a negative way at all. That means if they believe this is a Rex Burkhead game, Burkhead's getting the ball. It's a Sony Michel game, it's Michel. It's James White out of the backfield, then it's James White. You know, they're not going to care about your personal numbers, about making you happy, about making the player happy. They don't care. You know, they don't give a crap at all. All they care about is winning. And they're going to design their game plan around the player or players. Could be a two-back system like that day. They'll design their game plan around those players that give them the best chance to win. So I'm not playing that game because you know there'll be weeks where you start Rex Burkhead and he's just not a part of that game plan. You know, he's on the back of a milk carton that week. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing it. I'm just not playing that game. It'll be successful maybe more than not, but there'll be weeks you're just extremely frustrated because you guessed wrong.
And I think that is something that I'm sure a lot of owner or fantasy players are feeling, and they felt it throughout the years. If they're on the clock, you know, and it's Sonny Michel, it's Rex Burkhead, it's Marshawn Lynch, it's Tevin Coleman, they might lean Marshawn Lynch or even a Tevin Coleman, who's not necessarily has a clearest of paths, but to avoid this New England game, because it's what you said. It's not like, oh, I'm worried about a 33-33 split or a 50-50 split. I'm worried about starting Sonny Michel, and he's just not in the game plan this week. And it is kind of now as I look at where their ADPs are. If I'm in a spot where I feel like, all right, the two best guys on the clock for me, and I got to add a running back or Sonny Michel or Rex Burkhead, and I got to make that decision, I think now I might make sure I try and get James White in the later rounds. It's enough of a gap there where it's not like it's crushing me and he's still got that value, and I don't have to worry about blowing an RB3 pick with a Michelle or Burkhead. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Eagles side of this game and continue to go all around the NFL with the preseason here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
And we are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. We go around the NFL right now. Just talk a little bit about these preseason games and, you know, all of the news and the notes. Before we do that, I just want to quickly let you know that you can get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory right now for the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It is a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week, and it features in-depth analysis from your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go over to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, WINNER, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside that spot on the mantle for the 2018 championship trophy. George, really, I think the only big thing, and you can let me know if I'm missing anything, that really came out of this on the Eagles side was the Nick Foles injury, which right now they seem optimistic on. Wouldn't be surprised to see him shut down for the rest of the preseason. But it seems like if they need him for week one, he would be there.
Yeah, they say it's minor, but he's been dealing with a shoulder injury all preseason now, and most of training camp for that matter. So it's an issue because sure, they can shut him down, but he's still got to throw. You know, can he survive a game? You know, is this good? I don't want to say good news for Wentz because I've always believed he starts week one anyway, but does this make it more of a more than likely he's starting week one now when everyone started? Because if they don't even get through it, then they may not play it super safe with Wentz. And I think it's the only way he wouldn't start week one. Mm. Is that they're just playing it super safe. He was involved in 11-on-11 drills weeks ago, which means he's had live, you know, pretty much live grenades around his feet for a while. Mm. And it hasn't been really a big problem there. So I do think Wentz starts here. And it gives me somewhat concern, though, because, you know, if you draft Wentz, you probably wanted to take Foles in round 14, you know, before the kickers and defenses, just to make sure you're covered. And now maybe now you're not covered. You know, you've just went, so maybe you can't take Foles. Maybe now you got to get another backup quarterback instead. And so maybe, you know, now you won't have an Eagles quarterback for week one if Wentz doesn't start. You know, it does make me think along those lines here. But bottom line is, I think it's actually, in some ways, I mean, a silver lining things, optimistic thinking, but better for Wentz. I do think Wentz starts week one. So I think, like I said, this doesn't bother me as much as far as Wentz is concerned. What does bother me are the injuries to the receivers. You know, I'd like to see Jeffrey and Aguilar get out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about the preseason. You kind of just want to see these guys out there and see how they're running, see how they're looking. And it's never great when they're not. I think you make actually a really good point, though, in terms of how this actually can be kind of a bright side thing for Carson Wentz, where I think their willingness to not worry about him playing week one has been out of luxury because the reigning Super Bowl MVP is the guy who sits behind him. But I don't think the Eagles are okay with playing the Falcons on opening night with Nate Sudfeld at quarterback. And as long as that remains to be true, which I would anticipate it is, then this actually could be a good thing for Wentz. Now, again, it doesn't say that Nick Foles is now going to be out for a month or 3 weeks or anything like that, where he would likely be all systems go if they do need him week one. But I think what you said is 100% spot on, that this could be a good thing for Carson Wentz. So we had the Green Bay Packers play the Pittsburgh Steelers. A ridiculous score, 51-34. The Packers beat the Steelers in preseason. There were a pair of pick sixes, Dobbs and Rudolph each throwing one to the Green Bay Packers. In this game, really there were two things I think that stood out from this game, one from each side, and then you can let me know if there's anything that you picked up on. On the Packers side, I think it was what really got everybody excited, the Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Graham touchdown right away.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Jimmy Graham's going to do, right? He's not going to be a big 20-20 guy in between the 20s. He hasn't been for years, really hasn't been since he left New Orleans. Injuries have taken away that extra burst from him. But in the end zone, in the red zone, he's a matchup nightmare. He can still go up and rebound, get that ball. You know, that's what he'll use from Rodgers. Rodgers scrambled around there, found the big target in the end zone. He's not Jordy Nelson, but he's sort of going to be the target in the end zone that Jordy Nelson was. Bigger guy there that Rodgers will eventually find. Even if he's not opener right away, if the play's not designed for him doing the alley-oop, the jump pass, if it's not there, you know, that's not the play they run, Rodgers will find him eventually by scrambling around. So it wouldn't shock me at all if Graham has 10 to 12 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Not shocked in the least if he's that kind of receiver for Green Bay. But he's not going to have 90 catches. Not going to have 80 catches, probably somewhere in the 50 to 60 range. I do like Graham. He's my number six tight end. No issues taking him. Just within reason. You're really taking him for the touchdowns, not the receptions.
Yeah, so yesterday I tuned into the Fantasy Frenzy and shout out all those guys. And a caller was talking to Corey, and he was like, "Oh, Corey, I agree with you. The Jimmy Graham hype is a little too much because everybody's excited that he's going to get this elite quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. He's coming from Russell Wilson, who's always a top quarterback as well, especially in fantasy." And I understand that point on its face while it might make sense, but and again, maybe the context could be off, but Jimmy Graham last year finished as the sixth tight end. And as you just said, you have him ranked as the sixth tight end. I see him go in that draft, in that range. It's typically anywhere from 4 to 6. And he is going to a situation. This is no slight to Russell Wilson, but it is a better quarterback situation because Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. And if you wanted to break Brady versus Rodgers, okay, well, we don't have that debate fantasy speaking. There's no better quarterback that you would want a receiving option to be playing with than Aaron Rodgers. And if you just compare the last time that they both played the full season, so two seasons ago for Rodgers and last year for Russell Wilson, there's about 500 more yards and 4 more touchdowns that Rodgers threw compared to Russell Wilson, and he's also a more accurate thrower of the football. So that, to me, it looks where Jimmy Graham is in a spot where he is going to be, at worst, that sixth range-ish tight end with upside for more if this connection with him and Aaron Rodgers seems to be real. I don't have many concerns about Jimmy Graham being fake and falling into the, you know, 9, 10, 11 range of tight end.
No, the only thing I would worry about with Graham is getting hurt. You know, right. That's the only reason he would fall out of that range. Tight end is, it's weird tight end. You have, tight ends are weird this season. you have your top three, Gronk, Ertz, Kelsey, right? We all want those three guys if possible. Then after that, you have your Engram, Olsen, Graham, Delanie Walker. I'll put Kyle Rudolph in this class as well. And then after that, in the third tier, you have like really everybody else. Burton, Reed, Doyle, Kittle, Eifert, Njoku, if you want to put him in there. And then your fourth tier is literally, you know, the guys that aren't going to be ended up on too many fantasy teams. So, you know, Jimmy Graham is in that solid second tier. If you wanted to put him above Olsen because you believe Olsen's getting old, you know, a little slowed down a little bit, you don't trust Cam, okay, I could see that. You want to put him above Engram because, you know, not enough balls to go around from the Giants? Barkley's got to get his. Beckham's got to get his. You know, maybe one of Engram and Shepard disappoints this year because there's not enough balls to go around for everybody. I can buy that. I truly can. But that's as far as he goes. Yeah, he's not in the Kelsey Ertz class. I don't care how many touchdowns he catches. He's not going to catch enough balls. The offense isn't built around him. You know, where for those two teams, you know, it's certainly built around. It's going to be built around Kelsey. Ertz is pretty close to the same thing. We all know New England's built around Gronk. You know, the offense is not built around Graham. He's a matchup nightmare in the end zone. He'll get his. I have no problem. Jimmy Graham is my tight end one. None. But I'm not paying Gronk, Ertz, or Kelsey price.
Mm-hmm. And I think the good thing about Graham is you don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me is where you get into a spot where I agree with you, the receptions are likely not going to be there to get him into tier number one if you group Kelsey, Ertz, and Gronk within their own tier, although you could definitely make the argument for Gronk to be a tier above those guys, whatever it may be. But he absolutely has the potential to lead all of football in touchdowns. And you're, again, I just think within fantasy, it's comparable to what I was talking about, you know, before with the Pats, where it's just if you can get guys at an appropriate value with like Chris Hogan, where you're not paying for their ceiling, then you have to feel pretty good about it. Now, on the other side, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the guy who stole the show was James Washington, who this team just drafted this past draft. He had 5 catches, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And Washington is a guy that certainly could be the third wide receiver on this team. And I am sure a lot of people would hear third wide receiver, certainly going to be behind Le'Veon Bell in targets, might even be behind the tight end. How much do I really want the fifth option? Well, hold on a second, because last we saw there be some serious, at least targets available within Pittsburgh. Now, Antonio Brown saw 162, and then it was Le'Veon Bell at 107. But something that we've talked about, George, and I think why Juju Smith-Schuster could have a decent year is Juju Smith-Schuster saw 80 targets. Martavis Bryant saw 84. So we know Juju's numbers are going to go up, but that even still could lead for the number three wide receiver on this football team, something in the range of 55 to maybe 75 targets. And if James Washington's going to be the big play threat that he was at Oklahoma State, and he's continued to make plays throughout this preseason, we're talking about a wide receiver that isn't going drafted on a regular basis at the moment.
Every time I see Washington, and every time people talk about him, I feel like going, shut up. I want to take this guy. Stop talking about him. This is why there are no sleepers anymore. He looks good. He looks damn good. You know, and that this offense, there should be enough balls to go around for everybody. You know, and it was a time, you know, a week or two ago, he's every league he was going to be my 14th round pick. I always say 14 rounds. Most leagues are 16 rounds if you play in normal standard leagues, 15 and 16 defenses and kickers. I'm not saying you have to follow that strictly. Maybe you take a defensive round or whatever. But that's why I say 14th round, your last true pick before we get to the defenses and kickers. And I wanted him. You know, I so wanted him. And now every week, it seems like every day he's going up around. Because what everyone's talking, he's turning heads. We're all mentioning him because he looks so good in camp there. You know, right now I can't get him around 14. I know that. You know, even my home leagues, people are not paying attention where as much he's going to go higher. And it's because it's Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he's a high-scoring offense. Now, you make a point. Are there enough balls to go around, though? Le'Veon Bell obviously has to get his. And I think they're going to run Le'Veon Bell into the ground this year, knowing that he had 400-plus touches last year. He'll beat that this year. Because, once again, I don't think they expect him to be there next year, so what do they care? Antonio Brown, of course, going to get his. I like Smith-Schuster, too, another player I want on my team. But there should be enough for James Washington to be valuable. I'm not talking fifth round valuable, but if I can still get him around 11 now, round 10, I might still pull that trigger. And in keeper and dynasty leagues, I'm interested in him even more.
Yeah, I think that that is spot on. And I think especially to that keeper and dynasty point, Mason Rudolph was drafted by the Steelers to be there. They are hoping the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger, and it's not something you have to lose your mind about. But Mason Rudolph and James Washington were best buddies on the field at Oklahoma State. They were always combining for huge plays at Oklahoma State. Part of that is a Big 12 defense. But that's just something to keep in mind as well, where he's already got that built-in connection, where if you're worried, oh, what happens when Big Ben retires? Well, nobody's got the inside advantage there like James Washington does when you talk about that type of connection, if you will. Anything else from Packers Steelers, or should we go to Jets Redskins?
It was a fun game to watch. a lot of points being scored there. Defense really didn't show up. But that's it. For me, preseason always comes down to this. You know, for my fantasy players, please get up. Get up. Get off the field. You know, after each play. And of course, I'm a Cowboy fan. The Cowboys play tonight. And, you know, once again, just stay healthy. It's all winning, losing doesn't matter. All I like to watch in preseason are injuries from last year. You know, I like to see guys coming off an injury, see how they look. Dalvin Cook, someone like that, make sure they can cut. Odell Beckham, same thing. Coming out of their breaks hard. Always pay attention to that. And positional battles. You know, not that you can tell a lot from preseason. You can't. I mean, everything's vanilla defenses. No one's really showing you anything. But I like to watch those two things especially. You know, I am the weird guy who the Dallas plays tonight. I'll record the game. Probably won't watch it live, but I'll record the game so I can watch it and see it later. But preseason, after a while, let's face it, we're in week two now. Preseason's getting old here. All right, let's move on. When's the regular season starting? I want it here.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the Jets are the main story from this game. Of course they are, so that's why I want to start with the Redskins because we're up against the clock. Because unfortunately, it does look like something that we were discussing last week is not on the table because the Cowboys School of Broadcasting seems to have worked wonders again, where DeMarco Murray is set to be joining Fox as a college football analyst. And it's wild enough because Samaje Perine actually left this game with an ankle injury. He's said to be okay, likely to only miss a week. But, you know, I mean, this is a situation where if the Redskins lost another running back, I might call DeMarco Murray on their behalf. But it looks like, George, DeMarco, the Cowboys School of Broadcasting at it again.
Yeah, I think DeMarco's done. You know, I think that this pretty much solidifies it. You have to assume the Redskins made the phone call. Mm-hmm. So I think I could save you 25 cents. I think you're good there, Kev. I assume they made the phone call. Whether he took it or not, or, you know, nah, guys. You know, I mean, maybe if New England came calling, or Pittsburgh, or Minnesota, you know, a team that has a true Super Bowl chance, maybe that would talk him out of it. But it could also be DeMarco's like, the hell with this, man. My body's taking a beating. I'm 32. I think he's 32 years old. I have a good job now. I still get to cover football, but not take the hits I was taking. I think he's done. I think the job pretty much solidifies that he's done. You know, I think it's a little different. If he's a quarterback, you know, someone maybe not going to get hit as much, it might be completely different. But a running back, he gets hit 30, 40 times a game. I think he's done. That being said, the Redskins, I'm surprised they haven't brought somebody in. You know, yeah. And this is before the Perine injury. Perine's only out about a week. But I'm surprised they didn't bring in somebody before that. Now, there's not a lot out there on the street right now.
Adrian Peterson's still out there, right?
Yeah, he was the second thing I was going to say. Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson, but they're really done. I wonder if the Redskins are waiting for the first cutdown day. See if what comes out of that. Or maybe they have to make a trade, give up a sixth, seventh round pick for somebody's extra running back. One player I speculated about was Scott Engel. How about Jeremy Hill? Mm-hmm. He looks good. You know, he looks pretty good for New England. And New England has six backs in camp. They're not all going to make it. And they all could theoretically make it. You know, so I wonder if there's a trade to be worked out there. And there are other teams that have extra backs as well. I think Washington has to work the lines.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last week you indulged me and we spoke a little bit about my best ball shares. And I told you how I have the two Jason Witten shares because auto pick, which are certainly not going to help. I have four DeMarco Murray shares. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you, George. Me going with the strategy of drafting ex-Cowboys who have now retired, I don't think it's going to pay off.
I don't like it, Kev. I got to tell you, I don't think it's going to be working all that well for you.
Back to the drawing board on that one, and we will be back here to talk a little bit about Jets Redskins on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Sports today. I want to let you know about DailyRoto.com because they are putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers. This NFL season entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year alongside Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we will select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week, no worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. So head over to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and share your share of $25,000 in the action. That is dailyroto.com/SWEAT. George, the Jets and their quarterback situation. Their quarterback situation looks like it is going to be an interesting one. What I love is that they took Josh McCown completely out of this. That always, to me, seemed to be the answer. What was the benefit of starting him when you had either your future franchise quarterback or a guy that you are trying to get the most trade value out of? What was McCown bringing to the table? Doesn't mean cut him. I like what he brings in terms of the veteran leadership, but doesn't need to be out there on the field. And that's what they did. The only quarterbacks that took snaps were Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater. Darnold started things off 8 for 11, 62 yards, threw that underneath interception that a lot of people were talking about, just made the wrong read on it. And then Teddy Bridgewater, tons of hype. People are loving what they're seeing from Teddy Bridgewater, 10 of 15, 127 yards, also threw a pick, but also threw a very nice touchdown. I will start here. As of today, who do you think the Jets should have be their starting quarterback?
Well, as with all rookie quarterbacks, I think, especially on bad teams, this is a little different if you're a good team who has playoff aspirations. Jets don't have aspirations. All right, Bills, no. Cardinals, no. I guess Baltimore could, so I'll stay away from there. But if you know your team's not going through the playoffs, then the rookie quarterback should start as soon as you legitimately think he's ready. If that's week one, so be it. If it's week four, if it's after your bye week, week 10, whatever it might be, he should be in there. My theory has always been this. If I'm the coach, I want to get out in a year that I know I'm not making the playoffs and I have my rookie quarterback, I want to get out all the rookie mistakes, all the rookie rust, whatever you want to call it, as soon as possible. So if I have to give up a year and be a disaster, let's be it this year. I know I'm not going to the playoffs anyway. Might as well get it out of the system. Let him make all the mistakes. We can correct them. And next year we start, you know, where we can really build a team for what it's going to be. So that's my thought there as far as overall on rookie quarterbacks. As far as the Jets, I think what you see McCown, and I agree with you, so, smart move by the Jets. This is not to say McCown won't start week one, because I think there is still a chance. But what they're saying is, A, we know what the man can bring us.
That's true.
All right, he's a nice backup quarterback, a good, solid veteran mentor, leader, who can show Darnold and to an extent Bridgewater how the game should be played, how they should practice and all that stuff. But there's no reason for us to give him a whole bunch of reps in preseason or in practice. Like I said, it doesn't matter. Even if we have to start him and he's rusty, who cares? He's he's 37, 39 years old. It just doesn't matter. You know, we know what we're going to get at him. And if we have to start him, then maybe things went wrong. So let's give Darnold a whole bunch of reps. See what he looks like, which right now he looks for a rookie, he looks good. Mm-hmm. He'll only get better. Bridgewater, we got to give him enough reps to see if we can get some kind of trade value there. You know, not that we necessarily have to trade him, but let's see if somebody offers up better than what we, you know, better than a seventh round pick or a sixth round pick. You know, maybe with Denver Broncos, who don't seem to have a backup quarterback right now. All right, after Case Keenum, they just demoted Lynch to get Kelly there. You know, maybe something like that. Maybe there'll be an injury to a quarterback, or not even a starter, a backup, where a team needs a backup, where we can get that fifth, fourth round pick, even if it's an if, conditional pick, you know, depending on how many snaps he plays or whatever. So I think it's, I think the Jets are for the first time in a while playing it smart here, you know, where there is a plan in motion here. You can make an argument right now, and by an argument, I think if you're being objective, you know, where you're taking everything out, forget that Donald's the first round pick, the fact that, forget that he may be the franchise savior and everything else, you can make a pretty good argument there, if you were going just by merit, by how they've played, that Bridgewater should start the season as the Jets quarterback.
I just want to make sure I say that. I think I'm going to have to clip, just out of context, you saying the Jets have no aspirations and just leave that on never-ending loop. That was fantastic. In terms of this quarterback battle, what I think is interesting is, where would Teddy Bridgewater rank in terms of quarterbacks that teams make a phone call on if their starting quarterback were to go down? I think that Nick Foles, one, because of the shoulder injury, and two, because it seems like the Eagles may need him for week one. It is up in the air. It is back and forth. I know you feel like Wentz is good to go, and I think the shoulder injury to Foles could potentially mean good things for Wentz, but I think that the Eagles do seem set on they want to keep that situation the way it is. So the next two guys that really come to mind are Teddy Bridgewater and Tyrod Taylor with Cleveland, who we will talk about there. But in terms of willingness to give up, the Jets are far more willing to move on from Teddy Bridgewater, I think, than the Browns would be from Tyrod Taylor, regardless of how Baker Mayfield is look, I think, because Hugh Jackson seems very scarred from what happened with DeShone Kizer, and he seems like he's going to do every single thing in his power to stop a rookie quarterback from playing until it was absolutely necessary. But what I think you said right there is spot on. If I'm the Jets, I think I move with Teddy Bridgewater as my starting quarterback kind of for as long as possible. I do think that you would hope you get a phone call before the season even starts and you can trade Teddy Bridgewater. And I think that's, the game is the game. I think that's a better situation for Teddy. If he's going to go to a spot where he gets to be the starting quarterback, he knows his future is not in New York with Darnold. And then if you, or and when you move on from Teddy Bridgewater, you hand it over to Sam Darnold, because yeah, he threw an interception and it wasn't a great one. But they seem like they're ready to give him the ball. And I agree with you. If you feel confident that your rookie's ready to go, then go out there and do that. But let me circle back there. Do you think that if a team suffers a quarterback injury, their first phone call, all things considered, might be to the Jets and Teddy Bridgewater? And how, I guess, okay would you be with a team replacing, just say, an average starter with a Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, I think Bridgewater, we haven't seen a lot. Like, he's been hurt. Right, had a major injury, came back. He threw a couple of meaningless passes last year at the end that really don't tell you anything. The Jets, do they want to move on? Are they looking to move on from him? I think they are, because they realize, I think it's for a couple of reasons. One, they don't owe him any guaranteed money until the season starts, so they would rather move on from that. Not that it's a lot. It's not. But I think they'd still rather move on from it. I think also, it's one of the few rare from what I'm hearing, it's one of the few rare occasions where a team maybe wants to do what's best for the player. They know Bridgewater's not going to play for them, certainly not for long, with Darnold there, and they got a backup McCown, so he's extra. So if they can get something that helps the player and helps them, like I said, that draft pick, I think it makes sense there. I'll disagree with you about Philadelphia. They signed Christian Hackenberg. They're set at quarterback. They're just fine.
How dare you?
I'm sorry, that was just too easy, to ignore there. I think someone, let's say if that Foles injury, let's say they lied to us. Philadelphia out and out lied to us, which no NFL teams ever do, and the Foles injury is much worse. It's chronic, it's not going to heal, they know there's issues there. Well, it would be smart for them, wouldn't it, to say, oh no, he's fine. You know, it's minor, he'll be okay, because if they tell us the truth, and it is bad, well, that price just went up on Bridgewater now, didn't it? You know, but if they keep it quiet, nah, he's okay. And the price stays. I'm not saying this happened at all, by the way. I'm just giving you a scenario, you know, where how teams would keep the price down. You know, I mentioned Denver. Paxton Lynch is not working out. A playoff team is going to look at what happened last year. Wow, Wentz went down. Everything should have been, you know, down the toilet for Philadelphia. They still won the Super Bowl because they had a good backup quarterback. Boy, we might want to do the same thing. You know, see, I could see teams that are on that playoff bubble or teams that know they're in a good playoff situation thinking, hey, you know, maybe we ought to make a phone call here. Maybe it is worth a fifth-round pick, you know, conditional fourth, whatever it might be, so that we know. We can sleep at night knowing that if my starter gets hurt, I have a reliable backup. Doesn't have to be a great backup. No one has really true great backups. If they were great, they'd be starters. Right. But at least we have somebody that we can still compete with. You know, that's where I think this is coming from. I think of wonder, NFL's a copycat league. It has been forever. And this is something that teams may copy, maybe a copycat of. This is why I think the Jets are, I don't want to say they're showcasing Bridgewater, but they're making sure there's film on him. That teams can see that he's fully healthy, looks good. So I think it's going to be very curious to see what the Jets can do, assuming no quarterback gets hurt. If a quarterback gets hurt, I have to assume the Jets are the first call teams are making.
Well, can I just to piggyback off of that point, this is something that has kind of confused me for a while, and I wondered if last year was going to start to change the way people think when you see a backup quarterback win a Super Bowl MVP. I don't understand how everybody can universally agree that quarterback is not just the most important position in football by a country mile, but it is the most important position in all of sports. No position has more responsibility. Why teams are so okay with just punting a backup plan at quarterback, especially ones who have playoff or Super Bowl aspirations, has never made any sense to me. What is Carolina doing to back up Cam Newton? What is a Los Angeles Rams doing to back up a Jared Goff? I mean, the Jaguars, they don't have a starting quarterback, let alone someone behind Blake Bortles. I've never understood. Look at the situation. Just look at the two teams that were in the Super Bowl last year, where one of them traded their backup midseason for a high second-round pick, and the other had their backup win Super Bowl MVP. It was full on display right in front of your eyes. I have never understood why teams are so okay with just punt on the backup to the most important player on their team.
Well, I've understood it. And every team's different here. You know, I think some of it, it's salary cap. You know, you mentioned the Rams. Well, they spent a fortune on everybody else, right, to get starters there. You know, but so they can't afford a decent backup quarterback. They really can't. You know, they still got to pay Aaron Donald now to get him signed. They made all these trades to get, you know, better defensive players, to get Brandon Cooks. These guys all have to be paid. They're going for broke. I'm not saying it's the right thing, mind you, but I understand it. You can't pay everybody. My problem with the Rams is this, and this is my other reason why teams don't do it. Some teams... I think the Green Bay Packers are a pretty good example of this. Aaron Rodgers goes down, you're done. It doesn't matter who the backup is, unless you have a true great one. You know, unless you have one of those situations where you had a Garoppolo as your backup. It's just not – it doesn't matter. You're done. You know, and you know that. I think you know that going in. It's just a that come-to-Jesus moment. It doesn't matter who the backup is. Mm-hmm. Now, if Aaron Rodgers goes down, unless I have a true number one quarterback as a backup, we're done. So why even bother? And I think it sounds funny, but I think certain teams do look at it that way. Where we're done, it doesn't matter. Salary cap comes into it. You know, New England last year, I think there was more to that than just trading Garoppolo. I think there was some friction there with Brady, and Brady wanted him gone because I think Brady probably saw how good he was. And we see it doesn't make any sense. Garoppolo was never going to replace Brady. I mean, Brady is the GOAT, and he's the GOAT who's still playing great, who's not even making, as far as quarterback money goes, a huge amount of money because he doesn't command it. So he was never going to go anywhere. That's why the Ben Roethlisberger thing drove me insane as well. Him complaining about the Pittsburgh drafting Mason Rudolph, even though Roethlisberger had been bitching about retiring for the past couple of off seasons. What do you think?
What a treat.
The Steelers were going to say, "Oh, fine, we'll just wait, and you know, if you screw us over by retiring, we'll just eat it." I mean, really, even if that wasn't true, do you think Mason Rudolph was going to replace you, Ben? You know, I may think Ben's the scum of the earth, but, I mean, you're still a fantastic quarterback. Mason would have had no chance of replacing you. Mm-hmm. What are you worried about? You know, this is not Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Brett Favre here. You know, so I always find that interesting with quarterbacks. But I really do believe, though, mostly it comes down to salary cap. The fact that you think it doesn't matter who the backup is, we're done anyway if he's out with certain teams, that is true. The Rams is not, by the way. They have a team who actually I think should have a decent backup because I don't think they need a great quarterback to win. Mm. They just need an average one because of the defense and the running game. You know, but I think it comes down to those two things, though. Salary cap, and do you think we're done anyway? And, of course, availability. Is there a backup out there to grab? They really, you know, we like to make this a fun little thing. There probably aren't 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL now. So it's tough for a team to have a good backup.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the point about what is the system that I'm going to be putting this backup in is, right? Like, if Aaron Rodgers is the system, well then the backup, it can be awesome, but it doesn't matter, right? Like, would Nick Foles have saved the Packers' season last year? Well, I think that they would have been significantly better than what they had with Hundley and Kizer. But also, again, like you said, it comes with the opportunity and the ability to pay those guys. So I do agree that it's not as ABC 1-2-3 incredibly simple. In terms of the Teddy Bridgewater hype, because I've seen a lot of it, and I'm sure you have as well. Like, people are very excited by what they've seen from Teddy Bridgewater, and a former first-round pick when he went 32nd by the Vikings. You know, I remember I once had a back and forth with someone who was telling me, how are you going to discount Teddy Bridgewater? This guy almost beat the Seahawks in the playoffs, to which I lost my mind because that was field goal versus field goal, and Teddy Bridgewater did nothing more than show up in that game. That was the case for a lot of the offensive players, but it was a preposterous statement. And you look at his overall numbers, even go to the full season he played in 2015, 3,200 yards, 14 touchdowns, 9 picks. It is not super exciting stuff. When we last saw, you know, Teddy Bridgewater play that full healthy season. So I think to suggest, Teddy needs to be one of the 32 starters in this league, I think you're looking for a step forward that he just, to this point in his career, hasn't necessarily put on full display.
Oh, I think you're correct. I think I've always thought Bridgewater was overrated. Mm-hmm. That it's funny how you mentioned about the Seattle thing. And that's someone who didn't watch the game. Just sort of a score, he played great. He must have played well because it was a close game. That game was also played in brutally cold weather. Neither team could have thrown the ball in that game. That was the Blair Walsh missed field goal, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of funny because he ended up in Seattle. I also think when it comes to the backup, a lot of teams don't want a good backup because they don't want to put pressure on the starter. Which is another thing that's always strange to me. Quarterback. In my mind, Kev, it's probably the hardest position to play in professional sports. And if your equipment is not mentally strong enough to handle that, a good backup, that's always odd to me. It's just odd.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, right? The quarterback should be able to handle another guy being involved. All right, we come back. We're talking about all the games that happened yesterday for week 2 of the preseason.